I'll be through when I'm finished. Oh, peace. All is well. What we have tonight is an addendum, a slight addendum to what we said this morning. You remember what we said this morning? Do I need to go over that again? In search of a man. In search of a man. Ask yourself, what's my calling? I'm created like none other. Why? There's nothing on planet Earth created like human beings. Why has God created us so wonderfully? The verse that we learned as children, John 3:16, you remember it? Because of God's love. That's the answer. Because of God's love. Tonight, I only missed out on two pages this morning. I was able to give you the other three. What would you say? What would you say your calling is in life? We're given the information that we're going to live somewhere forever. And there are only two wheres to live forever. God makes the decision based upon our response to His divine word. That being the case, that should give each of us in our right mind motivation to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly handling the Word of truth. So the question for each of us to consider, what would you say your calling in life is tonight? If someone would watch you day by day, watch your actions for 30 days, what would be their conclusion as to what you think or what you believe is your calling? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live, you remember? For me to live is what? For me to live is Christ. Do you know? Do you know why God created you? Not as some other animal, but a human being. Now, I don't want to go through those, everything I've said to you this morning. So I'll go all the way over to page 3. Do I want to do that? Jesus understood. He knew why he was on planet Earth. Because he knew why he was on planet Earth, he fulfilled his mission. We learn later in life why we are created like no other creatures on planet Earth. There's no other creature on planet Earth created the way man was created. Think about it. Most of us have read Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was done. But when it came to man, God did it differently when it came to man. He took the dust or the dirt of the earth that he had spoken into existence, formed it. And it's amazing the way we are formed when you think about it. We can walk, we can run, we can stand, we can sit. It's amazing. He created man form from the dust of the earth. The Bible is careful to let us know that man's form came from the dust. But man did not came from the dust. Man came, he was breathed out. Came from that which was part of God, which shares, gives us a message. It lets us know that God created human beings for his good pleasure to live forever. Because there's nothing about God himself that can cease to be. Jesus was a man sent from God. He knew that he had come for a mission. In those days, you could not become a teacher until you were age at least 30. But what kept Jesus going was, number one, he knew his Father's will for him. He was determined to fulfill his purpose for being on planet Earth. He wanted to please his Heavenly Father. That being the case, he also illustrated that the life that God calls us to live is possible for us to live that kind of life. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. We were created by God. And what's the rest of it? We were created by God for God. We have been created in such a way that we can live lives that are pleasing and acceptable to God, and then one day be called to live with him forever. A real man knows where he is going. A real man. Your Bible in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 and 53, offers us a clear snapshot. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, talking about Jesus, that he set his mind, he set his goal, he set steadfastly to face whatever was waiting for him in Jerusalem. In verse 53, chapter 9, verse 51. Then we go down to verse 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Not only did Jesus know where he was going, but because of the way he conducted himself, others knew that he was a man on a mission. I think there's a lesson there for us. The world should be able to tell that we are individuals on a mission. We are individuals who are the sons and daughters of God spiritually. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. He set his face, he locked his eyes. He cemented his direction. I'm going somewhere. He had an unshakable purpose. He set his face even though he knew full well what was facing him when he got there. To live a life for God. Even now, it's challenging to live the life that he has called us to live. based upon the standards that we as human beings are beginning and have begun already, setting the tone. And it's amazing the things that they have cooked up. We thought it was bad enough, the stuff that's going on television now. What's the old saying? You ain't seen nothing yet, if they get their will. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse 30, we see the final burst of that flaming resolve of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's come to the end of his journey on planet Earth. He has been doing the will of the Father and teaching and training 12 other men to carry on the work and the message for all of humanity. He never shirked his responsibility. And our Lord Jesus, when they put him on the cross, they want him to look like the worst criminal that had ever lived on planet Earth. Put him between two thieves. But that didn't bother him. And according to our reading of the scripture, Jesus did not resist being put on a cross. He understood that that was part of his mission. I came to do the will of my Father. My Father so loved the world that he sent me to take the penalty for humanity. All we need to do is obey our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the day will come for us to hear that welcome voice, that welcoming voice, saying, "Well done." Isn't that what you want to hear? Amen. "Well done, good and faithful servant." When Jesus was hanging on that cross between those two thieves, as painful as being hung on a cross is, he was still in his right mind as he was hanging there. He even said to a man, they wanted Jesus to look as though he was the worst criminal that had ever walked upon planet Earth. You know the story. He was hung between two thieves. And as he hung there, the thief on the right, you know the story of that too. "If you be who you say you are, come down from this cross. Get off this cross and bring us with you." The us, he was talking about his buddy on the other side of Jesus. But blessed be God, Jesus did hear a comforting voice. Everybody at that day was not saying, "Kill him, crucify him." That other thief on the left side, he says, "We're getting what we deserve. This man is innocent." Isn't that something? Officers, enforcers of the law of the day, could not recognize or refuse to recognize an innocent man. He says, "This man is innocent. We are guilty. We know why we are hanging here, but he's innocent." And then that thief says to Jesus, dying himself, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What an event. You remember Jesus' response? Jesus says today, there's a lesson there for us, a lesson of comfort. Not just his dying, but what he says on the cross. He says, "Today, not next week, today, you shall be what? With me. Where? All church. Is there a message there? Is there a lesson there? Is there some motivation there? Dying, where do the righteous go waiting for the day of judgment? A place called paradise. Isn't that wonderful to know? A place called paradise. Today you shall be with me in paradise. And Jesus cried after that, he cried with a loud voice, "It," you know, you remember, "it is finished. I have come to do my Father's will. It is finished. My Father so loved the world that he gave me as a sacrifice to make way for all of humanity to come and live with us throughout eternity." Jesus died for people like us. He died for us. He wants us to come and live with him after life on planet Earth. Do you love planet Earth so much that you're not willing to do the will of the Father? We don't stay here that long. And we know, at least I think we do, that we're going to live forever. Somewhere. And the Bible describes in Revelation what the somewhere is like. And I don't like one of those somewheres. We have choice. Because of the life that Jesus lived and the death that he died. Jesus said, "It is finished." It was not a whimper. It was not a sign of resignation. It was a sign of triumph that shook the universe. Right. "It's done. The work that my Father sent me here, I have done it. I have completed it. I finished my course." That's the goal, or should be the goal, of every human being. That when death comes, we can face it with a smile, knowing that I have done the will of my Father. I've completed my mission. Jesus had accomplished what he came to do. He had wrapped up his Father's business. That's our prayerful resolve. To wrap up our Father's business. As I close. Now you say you were waiting for this. Are you sure? Jesus died for a cause outside of himself. By that I mean, he was not the cause, he was not the reason that this kind of sacrifice needed to be made to help out the human beings that his Father had created. We were created upright, perfect in every respect. The sin, when we read about it in Genesis, the sin in Genesis 3, the sin that was committed is unreasonable. It's beyond human thought or imagination. We had the privilege of eating upon every tree, eating from every tree, except one on the whole wide world. And because we listen to the voice of one who hated God. When you read chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, which tells you about that, you might want to flip over to the last book. When you read Genesis, that's the first book. You might want to flip over to the last book the book of Revelation and read chapter 12. That might give you some information or some insight as to who the devil is, what he did when he was up there. You say he was there? Yes, based upon Genesis 12. But God got rid of him. That's why he was down here. But be that as it may, man was created, you and I, we have been created by God for a purpose. We were made for something outside of ourselves. We were made for something outside of ourselves. That's the reason that so many draw up with a sense of achievement from a job, as ordinary as their job might be. This is also why so many individuals who die, and we talked about men particularly this morning, when it comes time to retire, they retire and they're lost. Because man, humanity, was created for a purpose, for a reason. Not with retirement in mind. They worked for 30 or 40 years on a job, collected their gold watch, and it's over. The job is finished for me. And for many, they see their life as being finished. Their reason for living, for them, it's gone. Their job is over. And so is their reason for living. What is left for them to do? What is left for them to do? But put their watch, their retirement watch, in the drawer. Get in the bed. Draw up their legs. And die. We were built to live, to do, for purpose. It's a needless and senseless tragedy. Because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. The cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ never dies, never cease to be. The call on our life by our Lord and Savior is eternal. God wants us to live according to His instructions here and over yonder to continue living according to His instructions. Did you get that? God's call upon humanity is an eternal call. There are kingdom deeds that need to be done here and over yonder. It won't be goodbye so long. We'll be there forever, obeying the Father's will. If you and I make the mistake of attaching our purpose for living to some workaday profession, to some 9-to-5 job, if we do that, we forfeit the heart of true man. The word is spelled masculinity. And life. I said the and life because you know the subject of the topic this morning was dealing with men. The reason so many become frustrated in their careers is because we can only work for a few years and then we're put out in the field to do nothing. Man is not designed by God to do nothing. You remember? I'm saying look because I'm talking to myself because I said this is going to be about 10 minutes. You remember when God created man from the dust of the earth? His body. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You remember the next thing God did? He took him to the Garden of Eden and gave him a job, a work to do. God gave us a body designed to work and be useful if we treat it right all of our days on planet Earth. We were made for a purpose, and our puny jobs aren't big enough to satisfy that calling. We must find our purpose in serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul focused his life around working for Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul says loud and clear, "For me to live," you remember? "For me to live is what? For me to live is Christ." That's it. That's my goal. To live for Christ. And I'm torn between the twigs. I don't know what I want to do. To live on planet Earth and carry his message. Or to die and go and live with him. I'm torn. At the end of it all. In death, in Rome, in your Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 6, "For I am now ready to be offered," you remember, "the time of my departure is at hand." But notice what he says in verse 7, I have been busy. I have fought a good fight. I have done what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, church, let's notice what the Apostle Paul says. I have fought a good fight. I have fought. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Isn't that good news? Not to me only, but who? But love his appearing. Who does that take in? He's guided by the, he's saying this by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Who does that include? Are you there? Are you still on the line? That includes every human being that will ever live on planet Earth. What are you saying, preacher? Paul is talking to us as well. Henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give at that day, but not to me only, but to all them that love him and his work. For Paul, there was no fading into obscurity. No sitting on a shopping mall bench watching the world go by. No endless games of shuffleboard. Paul left life here on planet Earth with a cry of joy and fulfillment. I have finished. You remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's final words? His final words were, "It is finished." What does that infer? Even if he didn't know the Bible, what does that infer? That infers that he was on a mission. That infers that he had work to do. I've done what my Father sent me here to do. I have lived the life. I have manifested the example. I didn't quit. I finished my course. Men, brothers, you and I, we need to own for ourselves that same kind of clarity of vision that so marked the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so marked the life of the Apostle Paul and so many other characters in the Bible, but particularly in the New Testament. We need to give ourselves up. We need to give ourselves up to be examples for others to follow. Jesus was an example to follow. The Apostle Paul was an example to follow. So that people might live well. So that this nation might continue to experience God's favor. And we seem to be going in some very challenging directions right now. There are some boys and there are some girls and some women out there who need to see some clear-eyed, godly provisionaries. Men of God who face the difficulties, who face the worst, and yet they just do like Jesus. They stay on course, living a life that God is well pleased with. Living a life, being an example and an encourager for others. There is a world, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, out there that needs some tender Christian warriors. It is every man's purpose. It is every woman's dream and every child's hope to see godly men. Amen. By the grace of God, I truly hope, pray, and trust that I am headed down that road with all of my heart. What's next, preacher? My next is an invitation or a request. Will you come and walk with me? Let us do it together. With the wind of God's word blowing upon our backs, pushing us onward. Tonight, if you have not been saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you come. Give your life meaning by giving your life to Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul did. God's saving grace, as we find it in the Bible, is ready and willing to save you if you're ready and willing to obey. You come first by hearing what you read in the Bible, believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord and Savior of all humanity. You come by repenting, being godly sorrowful for the things that you've done contrary to the will of God. You come by acknowledging, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and then being buried in water baptism. Buried in water baptism wherein God forgives you of every sin you have ever committed. Not only does he do that, he adds you He adds you. To the church that his son died for. He adds you to the church of Christ. And I don't find another church that the Bible says that God adds people to. The church of Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, you will get the privilege of preaching the first gospel sermon. And that takes place in your Bible and mine in Acts chapter 2, guided by the Holy Spirit. So if you're not saved, come tonight. Receive God's saving grace by hearing the word of God, which you've heard. Believe, receive, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and then be buried in water baptism. The garments are ready. The water is ready. The baptizer is ready. The only person that we don't know about, the only thing we don't know about, is are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? By obeying his gospel, and God will add you to his spiritual family, the church that you can read by name in the Bible, Church of Christ. You're already in the body, but you've been negligent. You've been slothful. You've been unfaithful to the God that provided salvation for all of humanity. He is calling you back to get on track. He's calling you back to get on track. Don't remain a quitter. Buckle up, harness up, and let us join hands together and be the men that God has called us to be. The men that God intends for us to be. And be examples, especially to young boys growing up. And they will say, I want to be like that man. I want to be a man of God when I grow up. Get on board and be the king man. Be the king man God has called us to be by the power of his Holy Spirit. The choice is yours. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.